Lord, we come to you tonight. Oh, thank you so much for that grace that you so freely have given us, for salvation that you've given us, for yourself, your Holy Spirit that you've given us. Lord, thank you so much for this weekend. We thank you for the ladies who are gathered here tonight. Lord, I just pray that every word that comes out of my mouth, Lord, would be from you. I pray that hearts would be touched. I pray that we would all walk away changed. I pray that if anyone here doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that would happen tonight. Lord, I just pray that your word would speak to our hearts tonight. And Lord, that we'd walk away so incredibly grateful for who you are and all that you've done for us. In your name, amen. Well, what a privilege it is to be here tonight with you ladies. I'm so excited. When I was standing in the back just listening to y'all visit, I was almost overwhelmed with emotion, like half laughing, half wanting to cry because I'm so excited to be here. And then I get to talk to you about grace for salvation. So first I get to be with you, then I get to share the best thing on the face of the earth. I must admit, as I studied this, the more I studied, the more excited I got. Much of what I share tonight, most of you have probably already heard. You've probably heard it for years. But I pray that you'll walk away and be reminded of the richness that we have in Christ and in the gospel, that you'll walk away with a heart of gratitude. Some of you might be hearing the gospel, what I'm going to share tonight. It might be the first time that you've heard it. I am so excited because it just changes your life. It will change your life if you just take what I give you tonight and accept it. Others of you might be unsure. Maybe you've been in the church for a long time and you're just not sure, like, what is this salvation thing? Or just unsure that maybe you don't really know if you're saved or not. I'm excited for you as well tonight. No matter who's here, no matter what you, where you fall, there's going to be something here for you each tonight. So this is what I've come up with. All right. Each of you will be one of these. You will be a Lucy Lerner, a hustling Helen, an unsure Ursula. Okay, sorry, I'm not pointing to you, Anna. I'm just remembering our conversation. You! It's my daughter. Okay, anyway, or saved Sally, all right? So you'll be one of those. So just listen, and as I explain, you'll see where you're at. This other time, if you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians 2. And as you do, I'll tell you a little story about a barber. He had just been gloriously saved in an old-fashioned revival meeting. And the next morning he went to work and he wanted to share his new faith and witness to the lost. A customer came in, sat in the chair, and as the barber began to shave him, he was trying to figure out, what words do I say? I want to share the gospel. So finally he stood over him with that razor in his hand and he said, "Are you prepared to meet God?" I was like, okay, so I won't be quite that intimidating tonight, I hope, but I do want to share a lot of great things. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. So, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Oh, the rich truths that are in there. I want to unpack just a little bit. Verse 8 is talking to believers and says, you have been saved. So I got thinking about it. I'm like, okay, if you've been saved, that means that, okay, we had to be rescued from something. But why are we being rescued? What are we being rescued from? And who is rescuing us? So I got the answer to those questions. Here's a few verses for you. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:10 says, for if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Lots of information there, but let me summarize this. We've got the why, it's because we were born sinners. The what, we deserve death, we deserve hell. And the who, it was Jesus. So we were born sinners. The only thing we deserve is death and hell. So God sent Jesus for our sins. What an awesome thing. But, you know, it said we're depraved, that we've all sinned. I like one pastor, how he said it. He said, if depravity was blue, we'd be blue all over. We would be oozing blue. Okay, I can raise my hand. We were talking to somebody how many times I got spanked as a child. I oozed that blue. But while we were yet sinners, God was so gracious to send Jesus to take our punishment for those sins. Now, I'm not sure that any of you would argue that we have all sinned, all right? If you live with people, you have sinned, I guarantee it. So whether it's interacting, a wrong word, a wrong thought, a rebellious action, it's in our nature. No one ever had to teach a child to disobey or have a bad attitude, right? I know this all well. Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, too. As a kid, I would be the one who saw the wet paint, do not touch sign. And inside, I'm like, touch the paint. Like, you know, that was me. Or I was the child who would take, don't tell my parents, but anyway, I would take the styrofoam cups and I'd mix chemicals in them and hide them so I wouldn't get caught. And don't do that, because when you mix chemicals in styrofoam, it doesn't work well. I came back to a mess. Soap in my mouth for lying. I mean, nobody had to teach me this. I was totally depraved on my own, all right? And because of our sinfulness, we're naturally enemies for God. So all those things that I did wrong, all those things that you do wrong, we're enemies of God. But the awesome thing is there's hope. There's hope. John 1:4 tells us, in him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. God was gracious enough to send Jesus. I just can't take that in some days. I just can't take it in. He to send Jesus to die in our place, die for our sins. His word makes it simple. We only need to believe and repent. It's just so easy. Romans 10:9 tells us, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And a little later in the chapter, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He doesn't look and go, not you. He says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love this. We sin, we deserve death, but God, amazing grace, just simply amazing grace. So ladies, if you just heard that for the first time, you are a Lucy Learner. Tonight you've learned the truth of salvation. You've learned you're a sinner. You've heard that you need a savior. You've heard that Christ loves you and that he died for you. His blood covers all of your sins, no matter how bad. His grace is freely given to you. If this is you, I pray that you will make this the night that you give your life to Christ. Trust me, it is the best thing you will ever do. He will change your life forever. He sure did change mine. So we've heard of Lucy Learner. But next is Hustling Helen, all right? So somewhere along the line, things got a little twisted. I think Satan's good at this. And salvation got a little confusing. People started to think, well, it's not just grace. I have to do something. So they started to think, what can I do to earn my salvation? This is Hustling Helen. She's hustling about doing good things, hoping that it'll get her enough, that she'll do enough to get her into heaven. But is that even possible? I want you to think about that a little bit. Let's go back to our verses in Ephesians, okay? It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Through faith, not of yourselves, not of works. Those verses make it pretty clear. Salvation is purely the grace of God. To help us understand this a little bit more, I'm going to read through some things that people, maybe even you, think that this is what's going to help you get to heaven. So I want you to think as I read, does it fall under earning your salvation, or does it fall under those verses in Ephesians that we see that says by grace only? Okay, here we go. Being born into a Christian family. Being baptized at a young age. Going to church regularly. Reading the Bible, living a moral life, praying, simply believing there's a God out there somewhere, giving money to the church or to those who help that need help, or serving in the community. Do any of those things fall under the simple grace that Ephesians describes? No, not a one, not even one of them. They're all good things. I mean, a lot of those are really good things. So what is salvation? We just read in Ephesians that salvation is by grace. It's not anything we do. Grace is unmerited favor, okay? Unmerited. That means we have done nothing. Zilch, nothing, nada. That we haven't done anything to receive it. And even though most of those things are good, it doesn't fit what the scriptures say. And hallelujah to that, right? I mean, I'm the first one to say that. We don't earn a bit of it. And I know that as feisty as I am and as naughty as I could be, that I would never be able to do enough good to get into heaven. And I'm sure my daughter could tell you that. So it's all about God. It's all about His grace. Once we realize that truth of the gospel and repent, we are adopted. We are sealed forever, saved. It's all about grace. So Romans 4 tells us, "For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, the wages are not credited as favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. So credit works. So credit for your works is what you're due, but faith is credited righteousness, just that simple faith in Jesus Christ. In him, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of the promise, from Ephesians 1:13. Romans 8:15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Oh, God who saved us, from 1 Timothy 1:9, and he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Okay, so some of you don't know me very well. Those of you who do won't be shocked by this, but I have to tell you, when I read those last few verses, I was so excited and so grateful that here's what my mind was doing, okay? Bear with me if you think I'm odd, just avoid me the rest of the weekend. But this is what I truly, this is truly the conversation going in my head. Okay, do I, one, be a black sister who gives a passionate hallelujah with a little hand waving and a couple sidesteps? Okay, that was my first option. My second option was that I be a 50-year-old cheerleader, give a high kick and a cheer, and in my mind, I nailed that high kick. Not like the Pinterest nailed it. Okay. All right. So that was the conversation going in my mind. I was so excited about what God has done for us. And you can go ahead and picture that. But God's truth excites me just to the absolutely core of my being. I love the way B.B. Warfield describes it. Free sovereign favor to the ill-deserving. Free sovereign favor to the ill-deserving. I was dead in my sin. I was an enemy of God. He knows every sin I have done and every sin I will do before the foundation of the world. God knew I would be a rebel. He knew it. Yet he chose to save me, to adopt me as his own. There's nothing I could do. I simply believed and repented. God in his grace declared this sinner righteous. What he did for us overwhelms me. Thank you, Jesus. Insert another high kick. So we've got a couple ladies there. Some of you are saying, well, I'm not a learning Lucy. I'm not a hustling Helen. Then maybe you're unsure Ursula. Unsure Ursula may be someone who's gone to church for years. Could be she's even a member of a church, maybe served in the church. But deep down, she's been wondering, am I truly saved? She's doubted her salvation, but hasn't dared tell anyone. If this is you, let me tell you about my friend. This is really exciting. It just happened earlier this year. Her name is Barb. She is a widow. She was a widow and a member of the church that I attended. She served in various places around the church. She was faithful. She was there. She's walking a Christian life. She was a widow. And there it came to be that there was a widower in our church, and the two of them kind of caught each other's eye and started dating. They were engaged. And then one day they were having a pretty deep conversation, and he looked at her and he said, Barb, are you a believer? He got down to where no one else had gone. And she looked at him and she said, I don't know. Okay, this is the lady that we served with, loved dearly. She didn't know. So they talked, and that night she gave her life to Christ. She's no longer an unsure Ursula. All right? So exciting. So, friend, if that's you, don't be ashamed. You are so loved. I don't care if you've served for 40 or 50 or 60 years in the church. If you don't know for sure that you know Christ, tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. All right? He's waiting. He's so waiting. All right. So we have Lucy Lerner, hustling Helen, unsure Ursula, and now saved Sally. Sally knows just that she's just that. She's saved. All right? Well, if this is you, you might be thinking, I'm good, but I might be a little like the barber. We're not going to let you off so easy, all right? So if you're saved, Sally, can others tell when you go throughout your day today, do you act like Christ? Is your heart pumping, alive, excited, and grateful for all that God has done for you? Do you purposely look for opportunities to share the gospel with others? Tell you what, this last couple of years has shown me every moment that you have with someone is God-given. And especially if they don't know Christ, take the moment. So maybe you've tried. Maybe you've tried with loved ones and you just keep getting rejected. But I want to share a couple stories with you, okay? The first one is my uncle. Last fall, well, for decades I've been praying for him, praying that he would be saved. And then a few years ago I had a conversation with him and he said, oh yeah, I went forward when I was a teenager and I was saved. But his life just didn't show it. So I was like, I don't know. You know, I can't judge your heart, but it's not really showing me. So, but anyway, last fall he got pretty ill. He got gravely ill. And God allowed me to be able to visit with him pretty much every day in the hospital. We had a lot of really great conversations about a lot of different things, but about salvation and about surrender. And while we were there, I could tell he just wasn't there. Like, he was wound up, and at times could be just not a very nice person, but I was gone. I had to be gone. I was trying to be there every day for him, but then I was gone for like a day and a half, 2 days. And when I came back, I had a conversation with him, and I was like, holy cow, like, what on earth happened? So I finally said to him, Uncle Eric, did you, like, wrestle with God while I was gone and surrender? And he did. He surrendered after decades, even saying that he was a believer. He surrendered, and boy, was he a changed man. I mean, night and day difference. Unbelievable, the change. And God took him home, like, 3 weeks later. So he is in heaven. He's a believer, and I'm just so grateful that he surrendered his life to Christ. And then another example is that there's been a young woman who I have been walking life with for like 8 years. She's had a really tough life. She's walked through some really traumatic things as a child, and so she's a single mom now. Shared the gospel with her over the years, walked with her. She was went forward and did a profession of faith when she was a teenager, so she thought she was covered. But when we talked about the gospel, like the true biblical gospel we find in Ephesians, she just wouldn't go there. She would just, that was it. But I was in a conversation with her just about a month ago, and she just was like flippantly talking, and then she's like, yeah, well, when I went forward and trusted Christ as my Savior, blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, whoa, stop. I'm like, what did you just say? So we talked. She had given her life to Christ. And she's a believer now. And I just was like, oh, I didn't think she was ever going to get there. Like, honestly, I could pray. And I was like, Lord, she's just not budging. So 8 years, like 8 years of walking with her. And finally, she surrendered her life to Christ. So don't lose heart. Then there's other opportunities that we have. Maybe it's at work, maybe other places. I want to tell you about one that is really heavy on my heart these days. There's a home that I go to quite often, like once a week I'm there. And a few weeks back, I walked into the house, and the nanny was there, and the little three-year-old was there, and they had incense burning and New Age music going. They were meditating. There was no Jesus, no Bible, no truth in the midst of all of that, and totally a godless home. And my heart broke. Oh, my heart broke. And I was like, God, I only have moments here. So the next time I went back, I was like, okay, Lord, give me moments. Give me whatever those moments were. So he was running around the house, just running around, having a great old time. And so I just looked at him and I said, aren't you grateful that God gave you those legs that you can run on? So it was a moment. It's where we start. Put the idea that God, you can be grateful for what God has given you and what he made you. So it's those moments. So whether it's a sit down and you get to share the gospel with somebody, or it's just those moments of bringing Christ into their life and God into their life, take them. Take them. So friend, what are you going to do with the truth that you've heard tonight? Are you a Lucy learner who heard the gospel tonight for the first time? I pray you will trust Christ as your Savior. Oh, that would be my greatest joy tonight. Are you a hustling Helen who thought you had to earn your way to heaven? My friend, it's all about grace, simply about grace. Simply repent and let God's grace and forgiveness cover you. It's all his work alone. Are you unsure, Ursula, just playing the part? It's time to make sure. You can repent and give your life to Christ. He's waiting and he loves you so very much. Maybe you're saved, Sally. Are you so overwhelmed with gratitude that you naturally share Christ with those around you? Purpose to take every opportunity. God's grace flows freely and abundantly toward us, gift after gift after gift. I'm so grateful. If you have any questions tonight when we're done, feel free to talk to anybody on the committee or most of those ladies around you or come to me. I would be happy to talk with you, pray with you, whatever the case might be. Let's pray. Lord, you are a good and gracious God. Your word is so rich and full of truth so that it's right there in front of our eyes. We can take it in and we can learn from it. I am so grateful. Thank you that you have adopted us. Thank you that you call us your own. Lord, I just pray if there's hearts tonight that need to know you and give their life to you, that they would do so tonight. Lord, that we can all rejoice together for another sister in Christ. Lord, I just pray for those of us who already know you. Make us bold, Lord. Help us to be overflowing with gratitude so much that those around us want what we have. Lord, I just pray that as we go through this weekend, that you would mold us and change us to be more like you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.